Chapter 21 are projective tests and personality inventories valid indicator of emotion, motivation, or other personal characteristics? There are two basic types of projective tests. One type involves inkblots, Rorschach inkblot technique, and the other involves pictures of people in various scenes, thematic apperception test, abbreviated STAT. A simplified description of the way these tests work is as follows. The client is shown an inkblot for the Rorschach or a picture for the TAT and asked to interpret what he sees in terms of his imagination. The psychologist conducting the test takes notes on what the client is saying. The idea is that the client is expected to unconsciously project his own personality traits, motivations, and problems into his interpretations of the inkblots or pictures. Essentially, it is believed that the client will project his mental disorder with his interpretations of the inkblots or pictures. That is, the person suffering from a psychological disorder is supposed to interpret the visual stimuli in these tests differently than a normal person. After the testing of the client is completed, the psychologist evaluates the results in terms of special criteria, which relate to the test. Both tests have their own rules of how to evaluate the client's interpretations of the inkblots or pictures. Question: is this a valid method? As far as a testing procedure is concerned, it is very time-consuming and there appears to be a rather low level of validity. According to Gleitman, as stated in Psychology 4th edition p. 637, by now, there must be nearly 10,000 published articles that are explicitly devoted to the Rorschach and the TAT. Considering all this effort, the upshot has been disappointing. According to some experts, these techniques have some limited validity. According to others, they have little or none hold. 1978. Kleinmans, 1982. Rohrer, 1990. Thus, these tests cannot be used as an accurate method of diagnosis. It is usually not possible to distinguish the mentally ill person from the normal person with projective tests. However, these tests are used by many psychologists. The users of these testing methods would most likely argue that the tests must be carried out in a precise way and the psychologist must know and understand the client's problems. The supporters of these tests would generally state that they must be used in conjunction with other information gathering methods, such as interviews with the client and her family. A strict interpretation using very precise criteria might increase the accuracy of the tests. One study for the Rorschach showed a correlation of +0.21 when compared to psychiatric interviews, Little and Schneidman, 1959. Such a small level of validity is still very discouraging because these tests are very time-consuming and the test may not provide any additional information. However, there is some indication that the TAT test indicates a person's motivations. These tests may suggest a person's motives, according to some studies of Atkinson and M.C. Cleland, 1948. If a person has a high achievement motive, is aggressive, or simply hungry, it might show up on the TAT. However, the same information can generally be obtained from ordinary conversation. For example, when people are hungry, they are more likely to talk about food. Individuals who are highly motivated to achieve talk about how to advance oneself or they discuss their own achievements. Aggressive people often talk about aggressive behavior. Thus, it is not surprising that people interpreting pictures orally will reveal their motives. But I believe more information can probably be obtained about a client's motives by carefully listening to her conversation and occasionally asking questions. In spite of the above evidence, in certain situations projective tests may have some value. If the client is not willing or ready to talk about his problem, either or both of the two varieties of projective tests can serve as an exercise. That is, the test allows the client to get used to talking to his therapist. This may ultimately encourage the client to talk about his true feelings and problems. This is not the intended theory and plan of projective tests. However, many therapeutic methods and other components of human culture work or have some value because of unknown or unintended psychological and/or social dynamics. This is a very important general principle. This can be thought of as a type of placebo effect, if we stretch the definition slightly. The determination for the utility of projective tests and any unscientific procedure should be determined in the individual situation. If it helps the therapist work with a specific client, or if it alleviates the client's problem, then it is useful in that specific case. There is a third type of test called a personality inventory, which is not a projective test. An example is the Minnesota Multifaceted Personality Inventory, abbreviated MMPI. The newer version is MMPI-2. This test consists of a series of questions that the client answers, which is supposed to reveal the psychopathology that afflicts an individual. This has more accuracy and validity than the projective tests. However, the validity is quite small, it correlates only about +0.30 with conventional methods of diagnosis. One of the difficulties with testing for mental illness is mental illness generally is a value judgment. Of course, this does not necessarily apply to all cases, especially when the condition is extreme. For example, two people might drink a large amount of coffee each day. The individual that wants to break the habit and seeks psychotherapy will be diagnosed as having a psychological disorder. The other individual that wants to continue the habit in spite of the health risks would not be diagnosed as having a mental disorder, which is really quite sensible and fair. It is probably better if the client and or her family or those who live and work with her decides what a problem is, and what is not a problem. This should apply even for the more extreme examples of behavior, such as excessive alcohol consumption, homosexuality, visual or auditory hallucinations, and just about all the components that can be defined as unusual behavior or a psychological disorder. Such a definition should be left to the client and or her family. The idea I am leading up to is that a test can be constructed that simply asks if a factor of the client's behavior is a problem for the client or his family. Of course, this can be done in an interview, but a test constructed in this way would have value in many situations. An example of such a test is presented below. Of course, an actual test of this type should have many more questions, and it would have to have statistical norms obtained for the various psychological disorders by experimentation. Two versions of this test could be constructed. One version would be for family members, with essentially the same questions, which would evaluate the client's behavior from their point of view. The sample version that follows is meant for the client. Note the test is printed in blue to distinguish it from the main text. Instructions: place a zero next to the questions that have never been a problem for you. Even if the statement is true in your case. For example, if you drink a very large amount of coffee and you do not believe it is a problem, or it does not bother you, place a zero next to the question. If the question represents a minor problem for you, place the number 1 next to the question. If the problem is more than a minor difficulty, place the number 2 next to the question. If the question represents something that was a problem for you at one point in time, even if it was a very minor difficulty, place a W next to the question. Note the questions are written in the present tense, but it should be understood that each question also applies to the past. Do you have a difficulty with excessive alcohol consumption? Do you ever feel you drink too much coffee? Do you have a difficulty with the excessive use of any drug? Are you concerned about your smoking habit? Do you have to take a drug to feel good? Do you ever hear voices that other people do not hear? Do you ever see things that other people cannot? Do you have difficulties communicating with other people? Do other people have difficulty understanding you? Do you have difficulties in explaining your experiences to others? Do you have strange dreams that bother you? Are you ever confused about what was a dream and what actually happened in reality? Do you ever feel as if you are dreaming while you're awake? Are you depressed? Do you feel very unhappy? Do you find yourself extremely unhappy and do not know why? Are you discontented with life in general? Are you discontented with specific aspects of your life? Do you get depressed for no apparent reason? Do you often find that you do not want to do anything? Do you sleep excessively? Do you have difficulty falling asleep when you want to? Do you find yourself worried about things that other people, who are similar to yourself, are not concerned about? Do you often feel nervous? Are you ever anxious, nervous, or frightened and do not know why? Are you ever frightened of something that you should not be afraid of? This test has a validity scale, which is somewhat similar to the one on the MMPI. If none of the questions have a W, a 1 or a 2 next to the questions, the client is probably not telling the truth. This becomes clear when we examine some of the questions. Almost everybody experienced some of the problems mentioned in the above questions at some point in their lives. Thus, if there are little or no questions marked with a 1 or a 2, there should be some marked with a W. If not, most likely the client does not want to reveal her problems. In addition, if there are an excessively large number of questions marked with a 2, indicating a significant problem, the client might be exaggerating or trying to fake mental illness. Some of the questions in the test are almost duplications written in different words. The reason for this is that one phrasing may be more acceptable than another by some clients. For example, some clients may be more willing to admit that they are feeling very unhappy, rather than saying that they are depressed. The reason is unhappiness is more acceptable by some segments of our society than the word depression, because the latter signifies mental illness.